C-minus 15. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Dan pushed himself to his feet, reeling from the most intense neck pain yet. There were tears in his eyes, and there were tears in Emma's. Both had endured an almost unimaginably intense sensation, like a spike being driven deep into their skin. At the precise moment when the feed from Richard Walker's live interview had been consumed by a total white flash before cutting out completely just milliseconds later, Tara, seeing them deal with this kind of pain for the first time, was almost hysterical in her concern. Timo didn't feel much more comfortable, but in an odd way, the extent and intensity of Tara's panic had forced him to be calm. He held her back while Emma convulsed, a mercifully brief part of the incident. But if Dan and Emma had remained in their helpless and frightening state for much longer, he had no idea what he would have done. Fortunately, they hadn't, and Dan helped Emma to her feet just after rising himself. As seemed to be typical, he didn't suffer quite so badly as she did. He didn't know why, and there wasn't much in it, but it was something they had both noticed. Tara wrapped her arms around Emma as soon as she was lucid, but Emma pushed her away after barely a second. "You two go next door," she told Tara and Timo. "We have to go and see what happened." "Who else knows where Walker lives?" Timo asked. "No one," Dan said. "But who cares? Clark could be in trouble." "If anyone else knows where he lives, they're going to be on the way there right now," Timo said. "Are you sure that—" "Joe Crabb and no one else," Emma said. "And he's hundreds of miles away. There's a small chance he might call the emergency services if he tries to call Walker and can't get hold of him. But why would he? If you don't know what we know, that would have looked like a computer failure or a power cut." Dan ran up the stairs. "Dan, act cool," Emma called. "Your dad—" Dan tried to compose himself as he walked through the house towards the front door.
"Are you watching this shit?"
Henry asked from his usual spot by the couch.
"Crabb was supposed to be interviewing Walker, but the feed cut out. Total bullshit if you ask me. Typical Crabb to promise something and not deliver."
"Yup, typical Crabb," Emma said. "Anyway, we're just going next door to check something on my computer."
Henry raised a hand of acknowledgement without turning away from the TV. Without telling anyone else, much less asking if he could, Timo broke the script and walked over to Henry. "Mr. McCarthy, before I go, I just want to congratulate you for raising two good men of such moral standing." Henry nodded, quietly grateful for the comment, then grinned.
"Have you definitely met Clark?" he asked.
Timo patted him on the shoulder before joining the others at the door where Dan was putting on his shoes. Emma, unimpressed, pointed towards her house and ushered Timo outside.
"Be really, really careful,"
Tara pleaded as Emma and Dan walked to the car.
"We can't just leave him," Emma said. "We don't know what happened."
Tara nodded weakly. "But if there are any risks, I'll take them," Dan said. He meant it. He would insist on being the one to take whatever risks were required. But he said it out loud mainly in an effort to ease Tara's concerns over Emma's safety.
"I was telling both of you to be careful,"
Tara replied, an attempt at a smile crossed her lips.
"But thanks for trying."
Dan got in the passenger seat of Emma's car and fumbled to buckle his seatbelt. Emma tore out of the driveway and drove like they were being chased by lava. This fast was perhaps too fast in the eyes of the law, but it was nowhere near fast enough as far as Dan was concerned. Throughout the short journey, Dan tried calling Clark over and over again. Every time, it went straight to voicemail. Disconcertingly, this suggested that Clark's phone may have fallen victim to the same forces as Walker's computer. Dan thought back to their fateful night in Lolo National Forest, when Clark's phone had exploded in his pocket and badly burned his thigh. He also recalled Clark's persistent inability to pass through invisible thresholds, which Emma and Dan could pass through unfazed. For whatever reason, the messengers had never afforded Clark the same status. Dan didn't know quite what this different status entailed, but the word protection was bouncing around his mind.
"Dan, what are we going to find when we get there?" Emma asked, speaking for the first time during the drive and speaking in a genuinely helpless tone for the first time Dan could ever remember.
"They wouldn't hurt him on purpose," Dan said, convinced by this at least. "And I really don't think they would take him." Before long, Emma made the turn onto the narrow road which led to the all-too-familiar cottage.
When this is over, I don't want to waste any more time, she said. Dan turned sideways to look at her for a clue as to what she meant, but just as he did so, a bright light entered the car from up ahead. It was a beam, rather than a flash, and it was getting brighter. His car? Emma yelled excitedly. She flashed her own headlights several times, then pulled up at the side of the narrow road. The rapidly approaching car skidded to a reckless halt, and Dan quickly saw that the plate was indeed Clark's. It's definitely him, he said. Obviously, Emma said with a relieved chuckle. They ran outside and straight towards Clark's door. In too much pain to step out unnecessarily, Clark rolled down his window as they approached. Dan arrived first. What happened? He called as soon as he saw that the window was open. Clark reached up towards the light switch next to his rearview mirror. Even this small action sent an ache running through his shoulder, and speaking hurt like hell. They got to him before I did, he said, flicking the switch to illuminate the car's interior. Dan's mouth fell open just as Emma arrived beside him, not because of what he heard, but because of what he saw. Wearing a blunt look of exhaustion mixed with uncharacteristic distress, Clark McCarthy's face was absolutely covered in blood.